a seat. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. It's great to be back in Escambia County. Here, they had tried some stuff locally. It didn't work. Then they said, we're going to do the charter. But it took forever to be able to do the charter contract. And so the Department of Education and the State Board both got to go in and say, okay, listen, the statute says that you have to choose a path forward. You have to execute that path forward. And if you don't do it soon, then we're going to withhold your salaries for the school board. Well, they changed their tune very quickly then, and they got in and did a contract with Charter Schools USA to bring us to where we are today. But that's not what we want to be happening, where this stuff takes forever today. I mean, if you have a school that's getting F grades, we need to remediate very quickly. If you drag your feet for 3 or 4 years, those are 3 or 4 years of students that are not getting the type of education that they should be getting here in the state of Florida.
The governor didn't come out yesterday and specifically by name criticize any of the members of the Escambia County School Board, but he clearly had not the most favorable impression of the way they have handled the entirety of the Warrington, what used to be middle school and is now the Preparatory Academy issue, as he talked about dragging their feet and costing students, you know, educational time and dithering. Remember all the months that they dithered over the contract and doing with Charter Schools USA? As a just pay attention to the logistical stuff that's going on at this event yesterday. The Charter Schools USA folks were there and sort of not up on stage because it's not really a stage, but, you know, with the governor at the podium, and you know who was not at the podium for the signing of a vast sweeping educational bill? Members of the public school district. so interpret it how you will. Not a lot of open space for interpretation here. There's clearly not a lot of love for the school board from the governor, at least not expressed yesterday. Again, the governor comes to town to sign an education bill at a school, the charter school that's run by Charter Schools USA and not by the county. They're public schools because they're overseen by the county in the sense that the county funnels the money, but they're not run by the county, right?
So there's a couple things. One is, I think most importantly, districts are going to have to act promptly to do this. And once you're in turnaround status, if you choose that charter school route, you got to enter into a contract and you got to move forward so that we can get a change for the better. So that's going to be really, really important. So what happened here in terms of the length of time is not something that's going to happen going forward.
I mean, you know, hey, school board, never again, right? I mean, and of course, the challenge is that in Escambia County, we don't just have the one school that's in trouble, right? We've got a bunch of schools that are in the failing DF, teetering back and forth between C, D, and F, but not doing well. More on that later, by the way. Some interesting news on that note, or on that front. Then the main reason he was here yesterday was to talk about the changes to the school book challenges and, of course, the issue of parents wondering what their kids are having access to at schools, particularly in libraries. But, you know, not to be missed out is that sometimes educational, you know, instructional curriculum, but most of this is a fight over textbooks in libraries.
We also signed bills to give parents visibility on the curriculum that is being used in their kids' schools. And unfortunately, there have been things that are clearly inappropriate for young kids that have been jammed into the curriculum. You will literally have a parent that will be dissatisfied with one of the books, and they will go to a school board. This happens all around the country, and they'll start reading from it, or they'll start showing these graphic imagery. And the school board members, oh, you can't do that here. That's inappropriate to be doing in a public forum. Well, if it's inappropriate to be doing at a school board meeting, how is it okay to be done in sixth grade? I mean, give me a break. So parents have done this, and it's important that we give parents the wherewithal to make sure that what is being done in our schools is both age and developmentally appropriate.
Right, which is, you would think, not something that parents have to do, right? Historically, you, as he kind of talked about, you just send your kids to normal school, and then to discover all of a sudden that there's, you know, pornography in the library is not exactly what you'd be hoping for as a parent.
You should not be having books in these schools, particularly in younger grades, that are sexually explicit, that are promoting ideology like gender ideology. We don't believe you teach a kindergartner that they can change their gender. That's just not appropriate. That's not what parents want to be taught in our schools.
Yeah, and now I will say, I think that the governor, I mean, he's of course absolutely right, but he's also picked the most strong version of this argument. The question of what kids should be exposed to in kindergarten versus sixth grade versus eighth grade versus 12th grade, you know, when many of them are already 18 years old. I mean, you know, those are some of the issues. But the core concept of not needing to have this stuff in the schools is, of course, a theme that I agree with, a theme that the legislature agrees with, that the state of Florida has agreed with, and the notion that, you know, you don't need to have kids being taught that they can explore different sexualities or genders just because they want to, or feel a need, or feel an impulse, or feel at, you know, odds with their body or the societal norms. You know, that's really not stuff you have to have in the public school. You can have it at the regular library, and it is well available at the regular library. You can have it at the bookstore, and it is well available at the bookstore, if you can find a bookstore, and it is well available online. You don't also have to have it in the school library, where you have age appropriateness issues and where you have other parents who don't want their students having access to that material and the need to scrutinize it and the discovery that a lot of this stuff is really inappropriate. However, comma but, we don't want people being able to challenge these books and then turning those challenges into a kind of political weaponization, which has happened in the state of Florida.
At the same time, the idea that someone can use the parents' rights and the curriculum transparency to start objecting to every single book to try to make a mockery of this is wrong. And you've had examples where books were so put under review that are just normal books that have been in education for many, many years.
Right. And even some of the ones that are more controversial sort of historically, whether you're talking about like Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn, or, you know, Atticus Finch's appearance and comments and all the things around To Kill a Mockingbird. I mean, there are plenty of good books that just don't need to be challenged because we've been teaching them for decades. And then you also have other books that are really genuinely problematic and are newer. And we can't come to an agreement about these. And we've, of course, had lots of conversations about what's appropriate. But you have two different kinds of problems here with the book challenges. Problem number one is teachers kind of being passive aggressive who are liberal, let's just say, generally, broadly speaking. They have been pushing back, some of them have been pushing back against these, you know, book challenges by showing the absurdity of challenging all kinds of things.
You had a situation down in another part of the state of Florida where you had some teacher was being very passive aggressive, was trying to say, oh, parents' rights bill, I can't have any books in school, covering up all the books. That's performative. That's political. You're trying to be an activist when you should be trying to be an educator. So this bill addresses that. It ensures that we prioritize parents with children in the school district.
Which makes perfect sense. The idea is that, you know, somebody is trying to abuse a process that's meant for the protection of parental rights and the protection of children from filthy or disgusting or even just, you know, content that parents don't want their kids to have access to. Remember, your kids belong to you, not to the school district, right? And so protecting that while also not running afoul of having somebody challenge 100 books, as has happened here in Escambia County, whether because they are, you know, very, very liberal or because they are very, very conservative and they want to challenge books for whatever reason.
So if you're a parent with kids in the schools, then, you know, you can do similar to what's been under the legislation. You know, if you see something that's age or developmentally inappropriate, you can raise an objection to that. If you don't have kids in the school district, you still are a citizen. You still can be interested in education, but you're going to be limited to what you can be objecting to. You know, you can raise an objection, and these are limited to one a month, because what we found is you have activists that are going in there, they're objecting to everything under the sun. And it's from all ends of the political spectrum. I mean, there's some people that really think all these books that have been in school are inappropriate. There's other people that know that they're appropriate, but are trying to act like Florida does not want these books in. So it's all part of an agenda. So this is really ferreting that out. I mean, I know Escambia had a lot of books that should not have been under review that somehow were. You got to use some common sense on this.
Right. Exactly right. So there are limits now on what non-parents can do in terms of challenging books. You know, teachers, I think the challenge is one per month. I think it's the same for somebody who's not a parent of a school-age child. You know, parents are, you know, not regulated in this same kind of way, or at least not nearly as restrictively. But we want to make sure to get rid of the crud if there's real crud found. And, you know, how do you know it's crud? Well, if you're reading it at the school board meeting and they're getting uncomfortable or telling you can't, which, by the way, now that's, you know, they can't stop you from reading it, because if they stop you from reading it at the school board meeting, then they have to allow the book. Right. And if they realize that it's a book they can't let you read at the school board meeting, then they realize it's a book they really should not have in the school. But that's been one of the tactics, is go read the book. And Governor DeSantis says, look, they can't show you on TV reading a book at a school board meeting that you're telling me that the sixth grader needs to have access to, but they can't watch it on TV when you just read it.
I don't think small school districts in particular should be inundated with a lot of these frivolous objections. People, you know some of the books that are objectionable, when if you put it on the screen, it will not be, the news will not put it on the newscast because it's too inappropriate to put over the airwaves. I mean, that's a pretty good test. If they're not willing to do that, then you know it's probably not something that should be in sixth grade.
Yeah, and again, sixth grade is one question. 11th grade is a different question. But you still do have broadcast decency standards. And dare I run afoul of going beyond the facts here, I'm pretty sure that you can find a bunch of books in any school library, certainly a high school library, probably a middle school library, that at least contain words, if not descriptions of vulgar scenes or adult content, just profanity that you cannot read out loud on TV, that I would generate nice, hefty fines from the FCC for reading on the radio, or, you know, for showing on television, right? And should FCC broadcast standards be the ones that we use for limiting school materials in the library? It's a really interesting question. Because on the one hand, you kind of want to say, well, yeah. I mean, if the whole concept is you can't put it on the air, you probably shouldn't have it in the school library. On the other hand, and I say this purely as a practical matter, how many empty shelves do you want in the library? Because loads of books have, let's just call it, just bare level profanity in them. Words you cannot say, you know, without getting into all the other stuff, just words you can't have on TV or radio. And so it's their fault for including the words, but then again, historically, literature includes a lot of things that, you know, maybe we don't endorse as a society, but nevertheless do reflect society or are important themes dealing with difficult subject matter that we want adults, let's assume, to encounter and understand. How much do we want kids to be able to encounter and understand those? And of course, as many people will point out, and rightly so, just because you keep the books from having profanity in them doesn't mean you keep the kids from having profanity in them. And, you know, these days, let's be honest, what kids do in terms of their mouths is, we learned by sending our kids to middle school just how filthy the mouths are of the average middle school students. And, you know, that didn't really come as a big shock, but it was a little bit surprising how common it was in school and nothing was done about it. And, okay, well, you know, this is the world, right? So you can have the idea of making school be as sanitary as the 6 p.m. news. No, that's the standard, or the, you know, 5 a.m. news on the radio. Is that what we want for all of the books? I mean, maybe. Again, I think it's an interesting question, right? So basically, and also he made the point of saying that, look, no, books aren't banned in Florida. You know, like, you can still buy them. You can still go to the regular library. It's just that we don't want them in the library. So this notion of book bans is a certainly a misstatement of the facts, and essentially reiterating the point that as a parent sending your kid to school, you shouldn't have to think about this. This shouldn't be that hard for you to figure out. Are my kids safe with the material that's available to them in the library? 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. By the way, if you're having trouble hearing us this morning on the FM signals of 95.3 and 92.3, I understand. Our engineers are working on it. They are well aware. Okay, sometimes there are conditions in the atmosphere that are difficult to work with. But, okay, you can still catch us on the old base signal of AM 1620. It's there. It's strong. It's been there for years, as long as the station's been there. So AM 1620, you can certainly listen to us there. I'm Andrew McKay.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and talk to your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin. 4 to 7 on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I don't know what to say. You tell me you're dying. You tell me you're jumping into a volcano. My mind is a blank.
I understand that every life must end.
Uh-huh. You know, Pearl Jam has made a lot of great music. This is my favorite Pearl Jam song. I could just listen to it on a loop again. And I wish Pearl Jam would come out with an album that was this cool, the whole thing. Anyway, it's called Just Breathe. Again, one of my favorites. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, 528 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620, by the way. I know we've been having some signal issues recently, so you can always listen to us on the AM signal, certainly, anytime you want to. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, jury selection continuing today in Donald Trump's hush money trial. More than 50 potential jurors were dismissed yesterday after saying they could not be fair and impartial. House Speaker Mike Johnson unveiling his plan for foreign aid. He's calling now for four separate bills with funding for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and other priorities. Johnson explained that plan after a closed-door GOP conference meeting yesterday. Each bill will be voted on separately by the end of the week. And, well, how about this, Andrew? NASA confirming that an object that crashed through the roof of a Naples home actually came from the International Space Station.
It was
part of a cargo pallet loaded with 5,800 pounds of old batteries. Oh, how'd you like to have that come crashing through the roof?
I'm trying to figure out how that slipped out the door.
Right.
With it, you know. Uh-oh. You know,
do not
pod
press
bay
the big
doors
red
are
button.
Open, Hal. Like, my God.
Where'd my pallet of batteries go? I left it right here.
And, you know, I mean, imagine that you're just sitting there watching TV one day and, you know, a hunk of metal, and it's about the size of your, I mean, it's like a couple inches across, you know, just falls, what, was it in the house, right? It was in the house.
Yeah, I believe
through
so,
the
yeah.
roof in the living room, and it's sitting there watching Benny Hill with you or whatever, and you're like, what's that? And if you ever get, you know, I guess I call NASA? You know, who do you start with? Do you call Boeing? Do you call the airlines? Do you call the military? Do you call the police? You ring up NASA and you're like, 1-800-HELP-ME-SPACE-DEBRIS. I mean, what exactly do you do? And then they'd, oh, yeah, no, it's fine. It's just a pile of batteries we dropped out of the space station. Oh, okay, cool. Well, I have it if you want to come get it and fix the hole in my roof. For a hole in your roof, for a whole new roof, call NASA.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Jury selection resumes this morning for former President Trump's trial in New York, with no one chosen on day one.
The first 96 prospective jurors were sworn in, but not long after, more than 50 were dismissed for saying that they could not be impartial. Dozens of others still need to be questioned, but no jurors have been chosen just yet.
Fox's Brooke Singman. A fourth body has been recovered from the site of last month's Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore inside a submerged construction vehicle. Two more workers are missing and presumed dead. Maryland Transportation Authority Chief Engineer James Harkness says the debris cleanup is on schedule to clear the entire shipping channel by the end of next month.
Some pieces above the waterline are easier than the pieces below the waterline. You may have to section them up into smaller pieces.
City of Baltimore's hired attorneys to pursue legal action against the operator of the cargo ship that hit the bridge. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 67 degrees in Pensacola this morning. Well, pressure's been building on House Speaker Mike Johnson to bring that national security package to a vote. Now, that's the $95 billion package. It passed the Senate in February. It would combine aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan.
I am not going to vote to send more money to Ukraine. I'm worried about escalatory accident there. I also think that Ukraine is very likely to run out of men before they run out of bullets. And we're going to be asking ourselves in that conflict sort of what we're doing there in the reality where Europe can stop that war anytime they want to.
And that from Congressman Matt Gaetz. He was speaking with Charlie Kirk. He said he does support providing aid to Israel, and he believes a good way to do that might be to take money away that's earmarked for the United Nations. A 19-year-old man wanted in connection with the shooting death of a 16-year-old in Cottage Hill is now in custody.
According to jail records, Cantonment resident Ethan O'Brien was booked into the Escambia County Jail yesterday afternoon. The sheriff's office says late Friday night, O'Brien was at a party on Wishbone Road showing off a gun when it accidentally discharged, killing the 16-year-old. O'Brien then allegedly fled the area. He's now being charged with negligent homicide.
That's News Radio's Joe Ford reporting. A Pensacola-based attorney now facing child porn charges. 33-year-old Alex Rigsby was arrested on Friday morning and released from the Escambia County Jail on Saturday after posting $1.2 million bond. According to Channel 3, he's facing second-degree felony counts of possessing 10 or more child porn images. Investigators say they searched his phone in February and found over 300 images and videos in multiple storage files. According to the Escambia Santa Rosa Bar Association, Rigsby works for Legal Services of North Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis says new legislation will continue to enhance Florida's top-ranked education system. He was at Warrington Preparatory Academy yesterday discussing House Bill 1285.
Just as it's wrong for a school district, an activist, teacher, a school union to try to impose an agenda on the students, it's also wrong for citizen activists or parents to do these passive-aggressive false challenges to try to act like somehow, you know, we don't want education for. So this bill does correct that.
And a portion of the bill will limit book challenges to one per month from those that don't have a child in the school district. The bill also simplifies the process to convert failed turnaround schools into charter schools. 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have mostly sunny skies today. Temperatures warming up nicely near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies, high near 79. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. Mostly cloudy again on Thursday with a high near 78 and a low Thursday night near 66. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And looking like it'll be another beautiful day. Right now we have partly cloudy skies, 67 in Pensacola, also 67 in Gulf Breeze, and a bit cooler, 62 reported in Milton. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Heading into the 2024 elections, studies say social media companies are unprepared for the wave of misinformation that's coming. Research from Mozilla and Check First concludes that leading tech platforms are lagging in their ad transparency tools. The study, conducted between December and January, tested tools from Alphabet, Apple, Microsoft, Meta, Pinterest, X, and more. Tesla CEO Elon Musk has announced the electric car maker will lay off more than 10% of its global workforce, which equates to roughly 14,000 employees. The company's shares closed down more than 5% yesterday and have dropped by nearly a third so far this year. While electric vehicle sales are still gaining popularity worldwide, sales growth has slowed, especially for Tesla. Futures are slightly lower. Monday, the Dow Industrials dropped 248 and the S&P 500 down 61. That's your money now.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning. It's 5:38 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you're having any trouble listening to us on 92.3 or 95.3, remember you can always go back and listen to the Legacy Station channel, which is AM 1620. I know I was driving in this morning. I heard some of the crackling and popping myself, too. And but the AM signal is still there. Always there, no problem. So you can always listen to that, or of course, you know, stream us online. You know, you have the News Radio app, you can listen to us there. That's actually the most convenient if you're in your car and running around, is just pop up the app and play. You can pause it if you need to, and you can also always listen to podcasts on that source as well. 437-1620, 437-1620. Yesterday, as we do on a Monday, I had a chance to talk to Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. The only story that I really had on my list of things that has been going on in Santa Rosa County is these tractor thefts. I guess it was two tractors that were stolen. Is that right?
Yeah, and it's actually it's a lot more than that. It's a ring that we've been investigating for a while that's gone pretty much all over the Southeast, and now the FBI's gotten involved because it's multi-state jurisdictions. But yeah, it's our property detectives first caught it. They jumped on it and have been tracking people ever since. So hopefully we're going to put the kibosh on it here pretty quick.
Okay, so just as a logistics problem, I mean, are these Bobcat size or like tractor size?
They're absolutely every size you can imagine, from a riding lawnmower down to a full-size tractor you'll see on a farm.
Okay.
They're pretty much taking everything that I would say wasn't tied down, but a lot of these were tied down. They still took them. So, they're pretty prolific. But like I said, we've got a pretty good hand.
Now, is this connected at all with, I remember we had the guy who had gotten charged with, you know, reselling stolen equipment that had come in from all kinds of places. And I think at that time you were the one that said that what thieves will sometimes do is they'll just pull up to a tractor lot, like a, you know, farm fleet or something like that. And they'll, because people will demonstrate something is on the tractor or is on the trailer bed, they'll just hook up the trailer bed and drive away with it. I mean, is this all connected? Are these separate incidents, separate cases?
Yeah, and that's basically what was happening. But these guys are a little different, but I think there probably is a nexus between the two. We haven't established it yet, but okay. I believe there's going to be a nexus between them.
So what do you want people to do? Is there anything for people to do to be helpful? Anything? I'm sure you've contacted all of the major retailers to give them advice and work with them. But anything for people to do?
The main thing is just secure your stuff as best as possible. As I said, a lot of these were secured and they still took them.
Hmm.
There's something you just can't do or can't prevent. Other than I would say this, if you have a lot of equipment in your yard or anything like that, make sure you have a camera system because that helps us a lot. And once on scene, you know, they show us a video and we got a car to look for now and or a truck to look for, and it helps us a bunch. So I would say that much, at least if you're going to have a video system over your yard or your parking lot or whatever, it helps us a lot.
Very good. A couple of bills that the governor has signed dealing with law enforcement. The most recent one last week, he signed the Keep Your Distance bill. That's the 25 feet once people have been warned that they cannot interfere with a law enforcement officer. When I first saw this bill, it seemed like kind of a long distance to me, because what I was thinking about is situations where you might want to, you know, film a law enforcement officer, which of course is perfectly legal.
Sure.
And some of the more infamous videos have been kind of relatively close, but there's a counterbalancing factor of safety and wanting to not be harassed by the public when you're doing your job of saving somebody's life or investigating a crime, right?
Yeah. And you know, the problem you have with these First Amendment auditors, we call them, they do want to get close because they do want to promote and they do get arrested, sue and please. Paycheck. But there is a fine line between, you know, you and then in the way of the law.
We are. I'm so sorry, Sheriff. The phone is really breaking up bad. We're having some weird issues on our FM signals too today. So I know the atmosphere is just not cooperating with us a lot today. But
yeah.
What I thought I heard you saying is that the sort of the First Amendment activists want to get in there and almost provoke something by being close. Is that what you were saying?
They want to, you know, basically a lot of them want to take that. So they want to get arrested and they want to sue the sheriff's office or whatever if we can, you know, hopefully get a paycheck. But, you know, there's a fine line between your First Amendment rights and interfering with law enforcement officer or another first responder. And you really, you know, at some point, you know, you can cost an officer his life if you have to focus on you and there's a guy in the car or whatever he's dealing with that's got a gun and, you know, he's not paying attention to him because he's having to pay attention to some idiot that's gotten close with a camera. So I think it's a great law. You still can film, you know, if you're across the parking lot, you know, a few spaces away, it's perfectly legal. Film all you want because all my guys and gals have body cameras anyway. So if you ever see them doing anything wrong, you're allowed to request a public record.
Right.
And report it to us. And we look at body cam films all the time. And a lot of times it exonerates officers, but there's been a few where we've had to exact some punishment on them as well. So I think it's a healthy balance. But when it comes to First Amendment rights, yeah, I love the First Amendment, but just don't get too close.
And I think, I mean, I don't want to speak for you. You tell me if I've got this wrong, but generally speaking, law enforcement officers love video. I mean, the more evidence, there's never been a law enforcement officer that said, no, what we really, except a bad one, is, you know, what we really want is less evidence. So even citizen videos can be very helpful in understanding crimes, right?
Oh, yeah. And going back to the cameras around your house or your parking lot or whatever, I cannot even begin to tell you how many cases we've solved because people video or getting their videos off home camera system. And one of the great examples is when one of our sergeants got into a fight over in Bridge, had to shoot and kill a guy in the parking lot or in the driveway of a home. One thing led to another. We found some home video from a security system, and it went right down exactly what the officer said happened. You know, he pulled his taser, got knocked out of his hand, the fight was on, and I picked up the taser and nobody killed him. So, you know, it comes in handy, and we love video. And like you said, the only ones that really don't like it are the dirty ones, and we want to get rid of them anyways.
Absolutely. Back to Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, and again, just to, like, I really want to nail this down because I think a lot of times people misunderstand this. You know, the more evidence is good, more video is good. And frankly, even if it's not like a got to get rid of him kind of problem with the deputy, if there's an opportunity where somebody thinks that a deputy has done something inappropriate, you want to be able to address that and have the evidence to address that with the deputy, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we fixed a lot of issues that way. And we've had people who didn't even film, but they call in and say, hey, he was rude to me or she was rude to me on the traffic stop. And the stop, I mean, we pull the video up and we're like, holy moly. Yeah, and we have to do some retraining sometimes. And you know, 99.9% of our officers are fantastic at what they do. But, you know, every once in a while you get one that, you know, needs some discipline, unfortunately, and it happens.
Yeah. I mean, guidance and discipline. That's the idea. That's how you get better. And that's how you keep your organization running well. I also wanted to ask you a little bit about this Porch Pirate organized retail theft bill that the governor signed.
Yeah.
I hate to say we need it, but do we need the retail theft one in Santa Rosa County? I would assume the Porch Pirate one is definitely useful.
Yeah, we need both of them in Santa Rosa County because basically what happens is this: you have these traveling bands, and they go all over the Southeast. I mean, we've caught people here from Atlanta, New Orleans, Jackson, Mississippi. It doesn't matter. They come all over the state of Florida, and they'll come in like sets of 5, 6, sometimes 10, 15, and they will come, and they'll come through Santa Rosa County, hit all the stores on 98 or all the stores on 90, and then they'll go to Okaloosa, and then they'll go to Walton, and they'll make their way all the way down to Miami.
Wow.
And this is what they do for a living, and we have broken up a few of the rings, but, I mean, they're never ending. I mean, as soon as you break up one, you've got 5 or 6 more.
Wow. So, I didn't realize that, you know, it was that pervasive, but wow, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And then the last thing is that you guys participated in the GLOW Run, right? A organization that you support, the Emerald Coast, what, Special Needs, is that the organization?
Yeah, Emerald Coast Exceptional Families. And
thank
it
you.
Does, it supports special needs families, and it's a great organization. They had a 5K GLOW Run at Navarro High School Friday night, and we went out there, and it was a great time had by all, and there was a lot of participants. We raised some money for that 501c3. And it's always good when you can help the members of your community that need help the most, and that's the special needs families. And we, you know, Hurlburt Field is the largest special needs base in the military, and it's, you know, it's like 8 miles into Okaloosa County. So a lot of those families live in Navarre, and we support them. And they have doubly hard because if you're a military member traveling all over the world and you have a special needs kid, it's pretty difficult. So we love supporting them and supporting their cause.
Very good. Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson, as always, sir, thank you for the time. Thanks for keeping us safe and keeping us informed, sir. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Andrew.
Most definitely. All right, 548 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, if you have a vehicle that you, it's a nice import, you paid a little bit extra to get it, but of course you might think you've got to pay extra to service it, a BMW, a Porsche, Mercedes, a Audi, Genesis, Jaguar, nice, good vehicles, Lexus. You don't have to take them to the dealership. I mean, it's natural to think you have to, okay? But you don't. In fact, there's a federal law that protects you from having to. For decades, it's been on the books. You can take it to any good dealership or any good, you know, service station. And Bobby Likas Auto Service, they take care of these cars all the time. Conveniently located right here on Davis Highway, so you don't have to go to Mobile or Destin or wherever the dealership happens to be. You're good. You just take them into them. They work on these cars all the time. No problem. Their website, carclinicservice.com. You can sort of think of them as a healthcare clinic for your car, right? Like you take your body to the doctor, you take your car to Bobby Likas. Same thing. You can find out information about them, schedule an appointment, ask questions, whatever you need to do. Of course, they work on domestics. They work on diesel. They work on gas. They work on any car that you're going to find. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KelleyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Bands on the Beach is back, so grab a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. This week, it's the hottest classic rock and roll horn band in Pensacola, the Baybridge Band. Grab a blanket or lawn chair, but don't bring any pets or glass, and get to Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 at the Coastside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Captain, how soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me I'm a doctor.
Good morning, 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I do know that we're having a little bit of signal issues this morning and yesterday, too, and our engineers have been working on it, trying to figure out the source of the issue. But remember, you can always go back and listen to us on the you can throw back to 10 years ago, and you can, you know, when I first started, we were only on AM 1620, and you can still listen to us on AM 1620. In fact, fun broadcasting fact, AM 1620 is actually our base signal. That is the primary signal that we're licensed through the FCC, and then 92.3 and 95.3 are repeaters of that signal. So you can come back to home, so to speak, and listen to us on the AM, which sounds great this morning. But yeah, if you're having any issue, or on the News Radio app, download the News Radio Pensacola app on your phone. It's very easy to listen to us there. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, the House is expected to send articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate today. That move will force the Democrat-led Senate to take up the matter of impeachment. Republicans impeached Mayorkas in February. Boeing held a presentation yesterday outlining their quality and safety testing on 787 Dreamliner and 777 aircraft. This comes after months of scrutiny and about a week after a new engineer claimed the plane company was taking shortcuts to speed up production. The presentation outlined the company's stress and safety tests. The engineer, along with another whistleblower and an independent safety expert, will be speaking to the Senate tomorrow about Boeing. And the Olympic flame is lit. That fire was lit early this morning in Greece at the birthplace of the Olympics. It'll start a torch relay that'll culminate in Paris for the Summer Games in July.
Okay, I'm super confused. I thought the Olympic flame was kept continuously burning. I thought the whole idea of this thing was, you know, it starts in Greece and it goes over to, it travels the whole world and then goes to the temporary location. But I don't know whether I thought that people ran it back or, but I was always under the impression that the eternal flame was, you know, eternal.
You thought it stayed lit all the time.
Yeah, I thought the Olympic spirit was alive all the time. Like, you know, May of an off year, you could basically go somewhere and see it. I mean, I never thought much about the practicality of that, but I always thought it was always available. No?
Well, it used to be. They had a burn ban.
Stop it. Stop it.
There's a draft.
A burn ban. Well done. Yeah, there was a draft. Not that kind of draft. Okay. All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. I'm cutting you off now. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, my God. So, you know how we have drama in Milton? We have drama in Milton. Every time there's a meeting, there's drama in Milton. You know how we sometimes have drama in Santa Rosa County? Most every time there's a meeting in Santa Rosa, there's drama. You know how in Escambia County we have drama? Pensacola City Council is running virtually drama-free these days. It's kind of a weird thing to see. It's boring. I mean, it's still doing good government. I mean, it's kind of, you might say they're the ones doing good government. And actually, you know, cities and counties are running okay, you know, to some degree or another. Anyway, just to give you some, I don't know, benchmarks about what is good and not good, you know, so you reset maybe your expectations because, you know, when you hear people yelling and screaming and shouting or getting escorted out of meetings like has happened in the last couple of meetings and one in Milton, I'm trying to think Santa Rosa, I think in Santa Rosa you had one too, and then you had to shoving slash falling faking performance drama at a town hall. Anyway, just again to put it in perspective, I take you now to Georgia. No, not that Georgia. The other Georgia. You know, the one that Russia invaded, right, you know, so long ago. Well, in Georgia, they were having a conversation about a foreign agents bill, which some people locally are calling the Russia bill because it's a bill that's just like what Russia does. And it's designed to warn you when outside sources might be influencing your information and to make sure that you're aware of the efforts of propaganda, things like disclosing if a percentage above 20% of the media is influenced by foreign money, this kind of thing. Well, the discussion about this went beyond discussion, and as Guy One, we'll just call him because I don't think I can pronounce his name, Guy One is up speaking, and Guy Two decides that he's had enough of that. It's Mamuka Medinaradze, age 45, is speaking, and the opposition minister of parliament, Eleko Elishavili, Elashvi, age 46. This is how their conversation goes. Oh, that's a jumping, diving punch. That's the old, you know, the flying sidekick where you jump up and kick somebody. It's meant to take a horseback rider down. This is the running, jumping punch that you so often see in Parliament. Guy two punching guy number one, which leads to total brawl in Parliament. Women and children screaming in the background. Cats and dogs living together. Total chaos. Half of the members of Parliament participating. A quarter trying to stop it. The other quarter filming. So, I don't mean to norm this kind of ridiculous behavior, but maybe just for perspective, keep in mind that while we do have our disagreements and while it is often dysfunctional and while it is often embarrassing and good fodder for Days of Our Milton or, you know, Santa Rosa County's latest opera or whatever, or, you know, the various things that happened in the Escambia County at the commission meeting, it could always be a lot worse. You could always have actual fistfights going on and, you know, look, a democracy is proxy war, right? It's fighting between different factions using non-fists and bullets. So maybe it's not a surprise.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.